Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson 83 in our teaching series, Unlocking the Prophetic, titled Changing the Spiritual Atmosphere with No Excuses. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
Lesson 83 of the prophetic. Say, Alan, how can you teach 83 lessons on the prophetic? Well, the only thing I know is it was prophetically revealed as we worked our way down this great number. As the revelation kept coming, we just kept going. The subtitle of today's teaching as we move forward is Change in the Spiritual Atmosphere. Now, we've been into the change into the spiritual atmosphere for several months. But as a prophetic people, that is our call. As a prophetic people, that is our mission. And as a prophetic people, that is our purpose. And as a prophetic people, it is the reason we are here. Amen. So I've been teaching on the reason, God's reason, our reason, what motivates, what pushes us all to move forward in life is our reason of existence. The heart of these teachings are to discover and find God's reason that you are here. You'll also discover that man is constantly in life's obstacles and life in itself is constantly trying to dictate and prophesy unto the reason why you're here. Therefore, giving us distinct distractions from ultimately walking in our purpose and our reason. It is this battle of the mind, and it is this battle of purpose that we find that our reasons become confused and not centered and not single-minded, single-eyed. But reason, I submit to you that the reason is the very spiritual. There are certain words that have spiritual depth to them. Some words are linear and some are horizontal. Some have tremendous depth. As the Apostle Paul said in the Scriptures, the height, length, and the depth of the Scripture. Some words have a dimension to them, a spiritual dimension. And then we have other words, I call them just linear words, in which are the words that connect the terms and the words that have spiritual distinction, and it has different depth, and we can start seeing these dimensions of particular words. One of those words is reason. It has a spiritual depth. It has dimensions to it. It has layers to it. The reason you were created. The reason you are here. Part of the battle is trying to discover God's reason for us to be here. And I suggested to you in past teachings that God had a reason for you and me before the foundations of the earth. And as God is redeeming us through salvation, through the reading of His Word, through hearing the Holy Spirit, as God is redeeming us, He is redeeming us unto whom He saw us as being before the foundations of the earth. So as a prophetic people, I've been teaching you, we prophetically don't look forward. We do not tell the future. We look back before the foundations of the earth. It is a seeing, you see. To look forward and predict future is soothsaying, which is not allowed in Scripture. So what do? We have a tremendous memory, as I've taught you. We are Zakars. We are created in the image of God to remember. We have memory. But that memory goes beyond your own experience. That memory goes into the memory of God. Can somebody say that's exciting? That's exciting. So we see that we are created as the remembering ones, and we have our own remembrance, our own memory. But through the access of the blood of Christ and upon the acceptance of Christ into our hearts, our memory has now been expanded before the foundations of the earth. Say, well, Alan, that's saying a lot. I agree. I do not say that out of my own reasoning. I say that out of the authority of the Scripture. And I shudder when it comes out of my mouth. But nonetheless, that is God's reason that we are here. The reason is so that our memories would exceed our own personal memories, and they would venture out into before the ages. And that's what's in the heart of God. So when we prophetically speak, we are prophetically speaking unto whom someone is going to be based on God's memory before the foundations of the earth. That's the reason it says Christ was slain before the foundations of the earth. So with that in mind, and as we move forward, I want to show today perhaps how part of the enemy of us seeing clearly before the foundations of the earth are the excuses of the human soul. It's just excuses of the human soul. So let's venture forward with that in mind. I've shown you that God is recovering man's reason. That recovery is before the foundations of the earth. God had this in mind. I've taught you before that you can take Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Then you can take Revelation chapter 21 and Revelation chapter 22. Take the rest of the Bible in the middle out, just for a moment. Don't throw things at me. But you can take Genesis 1, Genesis 2, and then go directly and read Revelation 21 and 22. And you'll see what God had in mind all the time. First two chapters, last two chapters is God's story. The difficulty and the hurdle to overcome was Genesis 3 took place, which was the fall of man. And so everything between Genesis 1 and 2 and Revelation 21, 22, everything in the middle, God was in the recovery system of his reason. To me, that's very exciting. You go to chapter 3 of Genesis, it talks about the fall of man. If you back up one chapter in Revelation, chapter 20, it tells you what God's doing in light of Genesis 3. It's an amazing book. And that's another prophetic teaching in itself. But just read Genesis 1, 2, and Revelation 21, 22. Just read them together. See God's complete story. Actually, God was in a building project. And in that building project, he was creating the heavens and the earth, in which he was going to have a place. He was going to have Grand Central Station, or he was going to have Ground Zero of how he was going to orchestrate and run all of the universes out here. There again, I need to hush because I am getting into another teaching altogether. Let me move on here. God is recovering man's reason. And as God's recovering his reason, then you will discover it is very important that you long after and strive to discover your own personal reason. Now, the way the enemy messes that up is he's got this thing called selfishness, where all of a sudden we become our own reason unto ourselves, and then that just messes everything up, because then the enemy has something to work with. Adam lost his reason when he gave up being responsible. I've taught you this in the last few weeks, that God gave up, or Adam lost his reason when he gave up his being responsible. Responsible, the first part of the word responsible is response, respond. Whoever is responsible is the person who can respond with authority. So when you give up responsibility, you give up the authority to respond in any given situation. I've taught you how when you blame somebody, and you can say, well, it's their fault. Well, it's okay. You can still own it. You can still own somebody else's fault. Because the moment you own it is the moment you have authority over it. Right? I've taught you all of that. Now, the one that is responsible or in charge is the one that can respond. It's important. Responsibility means the ability to act in the authority of the reason of the kingdom. So being responsible is non-negotiable in operating in the kingdom of God. We all are to be responsible believers. The kingdom of God is not a place for lazy people. That's your old life. Say amen. That's your old life. In other words, in your old life, everything you were seeking was that of pleasure. Right? In your new life, everything that you're seeking is for the kingdom of God. To follow Christ is to follow the reason God created you. So we see that we've received Christ. We understand the reason and why He came. We understand that in forgiveness, in this dilemma of man and his sin, we have discovered that Jesus Christ said He wanted to be responsible for all of man's sin. He owned it all. But He wasn't guilty, but He owned it all. So I submit to you that you can own what you're not guilty of. And you have the authority to speak forgiveness in that situation. Yes! Yes, I hope you can get that. It is a wonderful discovery of a spiritual authority to discover you are not bound by someone else's behavior. We still can speak authority in it. You must own where you are in life to have the authority of the reason in your life. Owning where you are gives you reason of responsibility, and in turn gives you your authority. Now, what does a kingdom reason look like then? To live in your reason is the only place you will feel complete. Everyone's looking for this place of completedness, of peace, and of joy. I think I asked you this perhaps last week. Have you ever been in a place of being, I don't know the terminology really, but say, we'll use this as I grasp for words. Hopefully you catch what I'm speaking about. As we're right with God, or we're living in a place of peace with God, or there's this little, this little sweet spot of knowing everything's all right with you and God. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It's just a little sweet spot. I pass through it from time to time. Would love to live there. It just doesn't seem, it seems like I just fall off of one side of the truck or the other one continuously. But I know where the sweet spot is, and I know that it's there. It's only there that we really feel complete. And the way that I get to that spiritually, soulish, emotional place is because I'm walking in alignment more with the reason in which I am here. So I submit to you, when you discover your reason, you also discover this sweet spot, I call it, of the Spirit, because you will find that your reason is in total alignment with Christ's reason. Can you hear that? Now there's a whole lot said when that is said. You come into alignment with Christ's reason. Your reason aligns with His reason. It creates a sweet spot. We must constantly, it's just such a fine line of constantly being very careful. The authority of God and the sweet spot of the Spirit lingers. What I mean by that, I've said this before, and I'll use it again because it works. If you come to my farm and you go into the milk barn and you stay 15 minutes and somebody's waiting on you in your car and you leave the milk barn and get in the car, they're going to say, oh, God, oh, you stink. And even though you're not in the milk barn, you still stink in the car. It's the aroma. Point being, the aroma of God lingers with you even after you leave the milk barn. So you can wonder why you're out from under his presence, but yet the authority is still there. It's because the authority lingers. Now here's the danger zone, especially as a prophetic people. But to leave the presence of God gives you authority. Period. In good or evil. You've got authority. You move and shake things. If you come out of a sweet spot with the Lord and all of a sudden something's going to meet you really quickly that could either perhaps anger you or whatever, the reason it'll hit you right in the face is because the enemy's trying to get you to use that lingering authority to cut somebody in half, to say something you should. Have you not ever noticed that? Times people, you can just say a little something, it's just like you destroyed them. Anybody ever notice that? It's because you've come out of that sweet spot, the anointing's there, all of a sudden you switched, but the anointing lingers. The word's called responsibility. To walk in the presence of God takes a divine responsibility. Responsibility is non-negotiable. I must understand when I leave the milk barn, it'd be a good idea to change clothes and take a shower before I come speak to a group of people. You'll be glad I did this morning. It's called responsibility, responsiveness. We must understand that we're not to treat the presence and the anointing of God so flippantly. It's responsibility. The more that we are responsible, if we'll be responsible with a little authority, God will give you more authority, and greater is the assignment. Greater is the assignment. You're always tested to see if you use the authority wrongly right after the presence. I've said it before, it takes more anointing to hold your tongue than it does to speak the greatest wisdom of the earth. It takes more to hold. But it's that place that we find completeness. Now here's what the definition of a reason is. It's a reason is a favorable or unfavorable elevation of something. Evaluation of something. Reasons are generally positive or negative. Views of a person, place, thing, or event. Now, nonetheless, reasons are generally positive or negative. It's still a reason. You say, well, Alan, they did it on purpose. So you have a reason now to be angry. And Jesus says, forgive them on purpose. Right? You have the authority to own it and take responsibility of it and respond. Positive or negative views of a person, place, or thing, or event. God's reasons are always what? They're always redemptive. So how can you know if the reason you are operating out of is from God? Because it always has redemption in mind. It's always redemptive. Anytime you get into a situation that you think, well, they got what they deserve. What a scary thought. We've all thought it sometime or another. Or we're even perhaps entertaining one of those now. That they deserve it. We better pray unto God that none of us get what we deserve. But the fallen nature of man is always wanting people to get what they deserve. Always, of course, discounting ourselves. Because we judge ourselves on our intentions. And we judge others on what they do. So God's reasons are always redemptive. So when God has a reason for you in your life, you can now understand why God has redemption in mind. He's always trying to redeem us. He's always trying to redeem us into the place that he saw us before the foundations of the earth, because he's made us a promise that he will finish this work that he begun. When did he begin it? Before the foundations of the earth. He's going to, listen, the good news is You're going to be who God saw you to be. God, is that a mouthful? I shudder when I say it, but I know it's the truth. It seems I have such a long ways to go. Is there enough lifetime to complete this journey? I'm sure not. I'm sure not. I've discovered I have more now than I did at the beginning. So truly, the redemption of Christ is real. Therefore, always searching for the favorable outcome. A reason to be or to live or to exist that you have discovered from God, it is always redemptive. I don't care what situation you're in. We are always looking for a favorable outcome of redemption from God. Now, it is in this act of redemption that supernatural things happen. You want to live in the supernatural? Look at your greatest problem for the favor of God to redeem. Don't look for something else when there's one staring you right in the face. And God's trying to show you how this His redemptive power will redeem this that appears to you to be lost or broken. God's redemptive power is the issue. Now faith, now watch this one. Faith is in relationship with your reason. Did you get it? Faith, why do you need to know your reason? Because your faith is always in relationship with your reason. If you want somebody to get what they deserve, guess what? You just spent some authority of faith in the wrong reason. I told you, it lingers. It's still there. If somebody got what they deserved and you didn't intervene, it's probably because your faith judged it and caused it to happen. Now, let's blame that one on somebody else. But now, if you want to be responsible, think about it. When somebody gets what they deserve, I wonder, did I intercede? Because I know God wanted to redeem it. God always wants to redeem something that's broken before it gets its end. You see, it's that supernatural act that witnesses to the next unbeliever. Can you feel it? Did you feel it in your bones? It's that redemptive act that somebody's watching. Somebody's watching. And so when somebody gets what they deserve, I'm always wondering how many did we lose because they did not get to watch the redemptive act. Are you with me a little bit here? It's the prophetic voice. It's the prophetic people that I'm trying to get you to consider. It's this prophetic redemptive act that we have the power and the anointing to carry. The anointing lingers. Amen? Now, aren't you glad? But can you understand responsibility a little better? The anointing lingers. So therefore, we have a responsibility with the anointing. We puff out in our pride in some type of a religious spirit, saying how somebody's not following God, and we will prophesy. They'll die. We'll prophesy. They'll be destroyed. If they don't turn from their wicked ways, this is where they will end up. Duh. Prophetic people. Not everybody sees what you just saw. The reason you saw it is so you would take the lingering authority and intercede on behalf. And then a miracle occurs. And somebody's watching. Somebody's watching. The greatest, most powerful spiritual tool is that of influence. The greatest, most powerful tool, spiritual tool, is that of influence. A tugboat just barely influences an ocean liner. But yet, through its persistence of influence, it changes its direction. If you're on the ship or the ocean liner, you can't even see the tugboat. You don't even know it's there. But because it's persistent in the reason it was created, it changes the direction of an ocean liner. So is the life of the prophetic people of God. We bump a little here, we bump a little there. Everybody wants to go in with a hammer and a sledgehammer and bust everything up. It's a whole lot easier to influence than it is to put Humpty Dumpty back together. Much easier. It's much less traumatic to your soul. Now, so faith is in relationship with your reason. When you have been in the anointing of God, in the presence of God, and His presence lingers, then you'll find yourself in a situation for faith to be applied. So we can see that faith, well, listen, please. Faith is what takes heaven and earth and ties it together. You're down here and you got a reason. The anointing presence of God's up here. It's the what I call the spiritual quantum physics. It's where heaven and earth touch each other. The part that brings the spirit through the wormhole into the natural is faith. Faith is what pulls it through that little hole. Faith is what connects it. Faith is what pulls it. So you can see why, if you're on earth, that your reason to apply faith is important. Because you're going to grab that anointing, that presence, and faith is going to pull it, and it's going to project it upon what the focal point is, called faith. You see, we think faith in itself is the authority of God. No, faith is what activates this authority of God. Faith is what pulls heaven to the earth. Faith doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. So faith is another one of those words that has depth. It's a spiritual word. It has depth, dimension to it, because it reaches through what we can't see into that arena and pulls it into the natural now. So faith, we see, is the hitch pin, if you will, of heaven and earth. You can take a tractor these days will cost $200,000. The implement that it pulls will cost $75,000. And it's held together by a $25 hitch pin. But you better have that $25 hitch pin. Because everything is defined by that hitch pin. Faith is the $25 hitch pin. But you can't do anything with your big reason. We can't do anything with the kingdom of God without it. It's the hitch pin that pulls it through this spiritual wormhole or whatever it is. And it pulls through till it hits the earth. So I ask you this question. How long should faith be applied in any given reason until it's accomplished redemption? You'd never pull the hitch pin until the field's been done. You look kind of stupid running around the field in a tractor with nothing hooked to it. Did you get a visual? So here we are as a prophetic people running around the field by all that we know and all we can see. You can see prophetically and it not change anything. Your pride will swell up in your seeing. You want to tell everybody what you can see and how right, look how right I am. I must be from God. No, the anointing lingers. You can see. It's when you apply faith and you hook it to the reason of the kingdom of God. You pull the reason of the kingdom of God through that wormhole of the spirit and it'll hit the natural world and bust it wide open. Can anybody feel what I'm trying to say? Let's move on. Faith in and of God is always a positive reason. I was in prayer and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what do you think about all this negative stuff on the earth? He said, I've had it. He said, I've had it. That's what he said. I've had it. He said, done took care of it. What he had it with was me talking about it. He said, I've had it. I thought he was agreeing with my topic. He said, I've had it. I've already taken care of that. You see it, you take care of it. The hitch pin of faith, it pulls all of the kingdom of heaven to the earth. What if all of God's people would just hook up with this $25 hitch pin called faith? You can pull a couple hundred thousand through that wormhole. It'll come down to these fields that are white unto harvest. And the great harvest will begin. It says this in Hebrews. Now, with this in mind, here's where we're going. Faith is in a relationship with your reason. So you must be careful about your reason, or you will be applying lingering authority over the wrong reason. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were made of things which do appear. Now, why did he put in there? If you'll notice, the word faith is pretty generic until you get down there, and he says the reason in which he used that faith. Through faith, we understand the worlds were framed. This is all creation. By what? Word of God. So when you take the word of God out of the faith, you will be careful because you will lose the reason. I mean, there's non-Christians that operate in faith. Positive thinking is faith. It'll work. We think that faith is just for Christians. Faith is a spiritual term of the spiritual universe. Satan's using it. His demons are using it. They're using their faith because it's a spiritual term. Now here I must be careful lest you throw things at me. And I'll not venture any further because I just want you to get the point. Faith is generic, so to speak. It's important to know your reason. Then we apply it off of the Word of God. Not your own personal aspirations. Are you with me on this little tightrope here? Don't fall off now. Bad reason equals death. Good reason equals life. Romans. For if by the trespasses of one man, death reigned, through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of what? Of what? All right, this is an important component. It is so important that God says that He will provide it abundantly. When you are in abundance of something, if you capture the Greek here, it means you will never run out. This glory, hallelujah. Now, this grace originates in God. Is anybody catching on in anything here? This abundant grace originates in God. And God, it says, He has issued us this abundant grace. Through that woman, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace, God's providing the grace, and of the gift of righteousness, you'll do what? Reign in life through one man, Jesus. So if you're into reigning in life, what you're rich in is grace. Come on, somebody. Say, I got it, Alan. I can't promise you a Cadillac or $1 million, but I can promise you, if you'll catch on to this thing, if you're going to reign in life, this is a key to success if you want successful teaching. The key to reigning in life is to live life in abundant grace. It didn't say abundant knowledge. It didn't say abundant. It said abundant grace. Abundant grace is needed because you or somebody came up short. So you're going to use grace to pay the rest of the bill. Well, how are you going to pay the rest of the bill? Son of a gun, here we go. You're going to own it. You're going to own it. Say, well, Alan, they did it to me on purpose. Well, own it on purpose. Because God's giving you the currency to pay for it. It's abundant. You'll never run out. Spender, there you go, stupid. It's the abundant grace of God. It never runs out. And the reason it never runs out, it gives you a clue about something. That's what you use the most of. It never runs out. I just freed everybody up. 75% of your life right there is just set free. You're going to be so bored next week, you ain't going to have a thing to do. I don't know if you got that one or not. To reign in life is a church. I think I said it last week. The phrase is out there now is tolerance. I told you last, the church originated the terminology tolerance. We say come as you are. Come on, just come as you are. How do we say that? With abundant grace. Listen, the only way you would tell somebody to come as you are and mean it is because you are so convinced when they do, they're going to get it. We're so sure of the words of God that as people and all of us come as we are, we are so sure of this abundant grace. The abundant grace of God is the call of the Spirit. And that call of the Spirit, when it, you can't give it in portions, it doesn't get the job done. You give people just enough grace to get mad. It's got to be abundant. It's got to be real. When it's given in its abundance, now watch it. When we give God's grace in its abundance, He provides. And when somebody comes as they are and we gave it in abundance, something's going to happen when they come. You can't touch the grace of God. Don't fix it. It's not broke. Just give it away. You don't have to understand it. Don't equate it. Don't add it up. Give it away. If you have to try to discover the definition, you're not getting it. We give it away. Come as you are. And we are so totally convinced and know that you will be transformed because we came the same way. So we see that God's abundant provision. Now, it says here that God gives a provision of His abundance of grace. If you want a provision of God's abundant grace, you've got to have His vision. Provision is a vision. Do you want to be professional in your vision? You get a provision. And then you're a professional Christian because you understand the provision. You have to have the vision. You have to have the reason of the kingdom to get the provision of the grace. So when you're short on grace, you're not getting the vision of the kingdom. Say somebody, I got it.
Got it.
You got it. Provision comes from getting the vision of the kingdom. Provision comes to those that get it. You say, well, Alan, I've tried to give grace, but I just can't seem to get there. Well, you don't have the vision yet. You got to get the vision of the kingdom to get the provision of the grace. When you get the provision of the grace, and then it is given away freely, it is there. That we see the supernatural hand of God.
Yes!
You don't religiously do it just right for God, and then He performs. No, you come as you are. We dare you.
Yes, we do.
We dare ourselves. Because we are so confident in this provision of God's grace. God's grace will linger as long as it takes because He has promised to perform something in me that He saw before the foundations of the world.
Yes!
Listen, y'all, this thing's going to get exciting. You're not going to know yourself in 6 months. Because of presence and the power of God is there in His vision. You want to just praise His holy name? Amen. Got my friend back there. He snuck in. I call him Praise His Holy Name. I'll call him on the phone. How you doing? Praise His holy name. No, how you doing? Just praise His holy name. I said, well, that's good. That's good. Y'all doing all right? Praise His holy name. And He'll keep on till I do. Now, what's that got to do with what I just said? I have no idea. But there it is. Can you truly rule and reign over your circumstances of life? When you look at this verse, you see that either death will reign or life will reign. Now, my suggestion to you is be careful with the lingering authority of God. Because you can speak death or life. Now, if you'll notice, if you've been away from God for about a year or so, it doesn't seem to work. The enemy's not after people that are away from God. He's after those that just are leaving His presence. See, the enemy has no authority, so he wants to use yours. Got to learn to be responsible with the authority and the presence of God. So how can you apprehend more life? You change your reason to live. How can we apprehend more life? Is we are in a... You see, the part of us that should be changing and should be being transformed is the reason in which we live. Anybody getting me here? The part that's being transformed is the definition of your reason. Because it's out of this definition of reason that you live. Jesus' life was created by His reason in relationship to truth. Now, here we go. You have, your life was created. Your life is created by God's reason. Your life is created in God's reason of your relationship is to truth or to Jesus or to the Holy Spirit, all of that which is truth. So Alan's life was created by God's reason in relationship to Jesus. Say it again. Alan's life, put your name there, was created by God's reason in relationship to truth. Now, if you want to find out your reason, I'm getting a little more complex here. We're wanting to find out our reason in relationship to truth. That's the reason you're inside, you're in such turmoil when you come out of alignment with God's reason. It's because you're coming out of alignment with the reason and your relationship of truth. The reason I use the word relationship is because this truth is alive. It's an alive relationship with truth, not your head. People are way too head heavy. Talking about heart. Too many of you think your head is your heart. Your heart can handle the reason of the kingdom. Your head can't. Y'all making my heart beat fast. Now, and his reason was created by believing truth. So we got a relationship to truth. And my relationship to truth determines how well I believe the truth. Get it?
Yes.
His reason was one who would rule over life and death. That's his reason. Your reason's coming into alignment with his. So therefore, your reason to exist has everything to do with life and death. I do not care what a doctor says you have. Let the reason in which you live be in a relationship with the truth. I was told at 36 years old I had 6 months to live. The only thing I knew was that wasn't going to work out with God's reason for me. I told the doctor, here's what I told him at Hickory. I said, I can't die in 6 months because God told me I'd be an old man when I'm 50. He went. I went back and about 3 weeks later, he couldn't find anything. I said, I told you so. And that's right. What? See, I don't care what man's reason is. I'm going to align with God's reason. I had a dream I'd be here when I was 50. So I couldn't left out 450. It didn't go along God's reason. That does not make sense, and it shouldn't, but I hope you believe it. Your reason is to be in alignment with God. When we don't understand fully our reason, what do? We go to God's Word and we come into alignment with God's Word. I have the privilege of speaking in the preaching session. And I feel it in my bones. I'm going to get into that. It started about my ankles and it's just about up to here right now. I can feel it. The reason was one who would rule over life and death. Remember, we're to align with Him. You can see that Jesus' reason was one of ruling over heaven, earth, and his life. Jesus knew, was convinced of the reason he was here. Why was he obedient unto the cross? Because he knew his reason. Well, the cross looks pretty bad. Well, on one level it does, but it's dimensional. What looked to be lesser, which he was going to die on the cross, turned out to be the greater all the time. He never gave excuses, only his reason. Now it's 10:21, which I'm going to have to stop. But next week, this is where we're going to start next week. He never gave excuses, only his reason. So next week, I want to lead you into what keeps you from discovering your reason. Can anybody give me the word? Excuses. Excuses tend to be a form of blame. You're going to blame something or somebody. It's an excuse. When you blame or use an excuse, you give your authority to another. So then you live life without any authority of Christ to forge through these problems, these diseases, sickness, problems of life. I want you to go through and kick the doors of life open. March right through. I want everybody to know when a Christian enters Walmart, because the anointing precedes them. You have to say nothing, but everybody goes, whoa, something just happened. Now listen, I'm not kidding. I'm as serious as I can be. And I live unto that day because I have been promised to see it. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, we do love you, and we thank you for this day, and thank you for the power of your resurrection. Lord, we do just want to praise your holy name this day. We thank you for the power of the cross, the power of your Spirit. We thank you, oh God, that you loved us so much and you looked down on us so much. You said you're going to have to up the meals of your grace in heaven, because it's going to take a lot. So, Lord God, if you'll crank it out, we'll give it away, that mankind might be redeemed. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.